What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs, whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job. Choose Express Employment Professionals. Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers. Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. Hey there, mamas. Everyone knows how it goes. You're giving it your all to breastfeed or pump for your little one. But there are times when you might need a little extra help. That's where Traditional Medicinals Mother's Milk comes in. Mother's Milk is an organic herbal tea blend designed to support healthy lactation for breastfeeding and pumping moms. Plus, it's caffeine-free. Learn more about Mother's Milk at traditionalmedicinals.com/mothersmilk. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, this wine about it, we have Laura Tremaine. So she grew up in Oklahoma. She moved to Los Angeles when she was 22 years old. So she's worked in film, television, production for many years, MTV, VH1, Fox, Paramount Pictures, but now she is full-time writing. She has shared a lot about her life with anxiety, motherhood, and marriage. She has a podcast as well, but right now she's got a book out called The Life Council, 10 Friends Every Woman Needs. There's a lot of times I get questions about friendships, friend breakups. So let's dive in with Laura Tremaine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Look, we both have neon behind us.
Our signs. What's your sign say?
It says share your stuff. It's kind of hard to see on the.
Oh, yep. There it is.
Yep.
Do you share your stuff? You like sharing your stuff?
I mean, I've made a career of it.
Same girl. What's the downside for you of sharing your stuff? I'm curious, like where, because I have some.
I mean, there's a few. The obvious one would be relational, like with people in my real life of like, they're, I attract people in my real life who are the opposite of sharers. Mm-hmm. And so they don't love that I share my stuff, even though I try to be very mindful and respectful of that. It's still, it's tricky. And then the other part, the second hardest part, I think, would be because I've been doing this for so long that when you change your mind on something, you change the way you believe, the way you vote, a take you might have had 10 years ago. When that changes, it's harder to walk it through because what makes sense to you in your spirit or even would make sense to people in your real life, people online or whatever have not followed all the dots. You know what I mean? So it's just like, and nor do they have to, but like, it's just harder to unpack a little bit.
Why do you think you attract more people that are private, like relationally? Cause it's interesting. Cause when I was dating post-divorce, a lot of the people that were very, like very private, like they wanted to stay private. They relationally wanted to stay private. Like, you know, and I was like, this is interesting that I keep picking the same person.
I mean, is it dumb to say opposites attract? Honestly think my first instinct when you ask that question, I always try to go with my kind of gut instinct, is not that I'm necessarily attracted to private people. It's that private people are very attracted to me. Mm. Like, I don't feel like I am as overtly taking something from their privacy as they might need from someone who likes to share and talk and... Doesn't mean I don't take anything from them, but you know what I mean? Just that particular aspect.
Like you're saying, maybe, like it's a trait that they wish they had?
Or that they're attracted to, that they want more of, or that they like observing, you know, like being in proximity to. Because a lot of people, they don't necessarily I don't necessarily teach them to open up over time, but they like being in proximity to people who open up. Sure. Like they like listening or observing.
Yeah.
My husband would say that for sure. And then some of my closest friends would also say that. And then I have family members who would never say that. They're like, nope, they don't like it. And they still don't like it.
Right. Yeah. My boyfriend, he's definitely way more private. And you know, he was kind of had that conversation. Like, you know, I talk about a lot of things now. He's like, well, so I think the only thing I wouldn't want, you know, to talk about is when we face those hardships, because I used to have a podcast with my ex-husband. So I'm like, I would never go back to that, because that was like two open wounds. You know, that was an oversharing that I think affected us in the long run. Mm-hmm. So like, I would never do that again with any relationship moving forward again, because I saw the negative mm-hmm. Effects of that. Now there were positives, sure, but but also I think more so like negative. So I was like, I would never come in and be like, oh, I'm mad at this person. You know what I mean? Like I will always share us as in a positive light, you know, and because I think that helps, you know, keep the relationship strong too. Because mm-hmm. when you're having all these negative thoughts, it's like, it's not good.
I kind of worried about that with my book, writing a book about friendship. Even though I wrote about it very positively, sure. It felt like a little bit like what you're saying. Like when you see married couples go on a reality show about their marriage, and then what always happens is they get divorced. Like, I felt that way about writing a book about friendship. I was like, am I going to write about all my friends and then end up friendless? Like, is this what's going to happen? Is this the natural trajectory of things? That has not happened so far. But I think it is human nature. It's almost like we're jinxing it, or when you put it out there, you know, that's a vulnerability that mm-hmm. you're exposing yourself to. And I try not to believe that God or the universe works that way, like in a vengeful way. Like, you put yourself out there, so then you're going to get something bad back. I have to train my brain to not think like that.
No, I totally hear you. I've written something and it's, you know, writing things. I'm like, well, what if, you know, something like happens or whatever, but it's like your friends are, especially I'm sure the ones that you write about in your book are friends that have been on such a journey with you through a lot of your seasons. Now, and I'm curious, like in that, like, are there, because you talk about the friends that you need, you know, are there new season friends in there? Are those the ones that you worry about, or is the ones that have been there for a long time?
Both. I probably care more about those that have been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. To damage those would be really detrimental to me as a human, versus new friends, which I love new friends. Actually, mm-hmm. the new friend chapter in the book is one of my favorite sections, but there's less stakes with a new friend if that ended, or if there was damage there with an old friend. You know, it's like such a part of your heart.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. My best friend Kat and I mean, the very few times we've had disagreements, it's like, oh my, it feels like it's that scary feeling of like, I can't lose this. It's like a family member, you know, it's like, that's how 15 years of like love and, but you know, people change and they grow and you just hope that they're there through you. And I mean, I feel very fortunate with the friends that I have that have stuck with me through some of my best seasons and some of my worst seasons and some of my ugly seasons, you know, where I haven't been the best version of myself. But I think, you know, I'm curious with your book, you know, a lot of why I think my friends, like I have the friends that will be like, I need you to look in the mirror on this one, you know, and mm-hmm. kind of call me out. Cause I need that.
Yeah. I mean, I start the book out with a little bit of a call out. The first section of the book is called A Friendship Reckoning, because in 2020, I said something hurtful accidentally. I just was mm-hmm. multitasking and not thinking it through on a group text. And it hurt one of my friends so badly, she was almost willing to end our friendship over it. Now, it was the height of the pandemic. Emotions were running high. Texts can obviously be misconstrued. But yeah, it was definitely a thing. Like, I've had to walk through those hard friendship moments, had hard conversations, had to say, do we want to move forward? It's terrible. I wanted to start the book out that way because I didn't want anyone to think that I was coming from a place of perfect friendships.
Right.
Because I'm not.
Right. Why did you want to write a friendship book? What was that?
Because I've been sharing myself on the internet for over 10 years and the friendship topic kept coming up. Now, I will say I started when I was a blogger, like in 2009, like a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I started that blog from a place of loneliness. Mm. I had moved to Los Angeles from Oklahoma, where I'd had, you know, a hometown friend group and a college friend group and a summer camp friend group and a youth group friend group and all these things when I was young. And I moved to this city of 10 million people thinking I would have the same types of friends, and I didn't. And I spent a lot of my 20s working in film and television production. When I got married and we decided to start a family, I was at home without work friends, without very many local friends, and I was super lonely. And so I started this blog. Well, I blogged about a lot of things. I wrote about a lot of things for many years. But I did blog about this idea of not having very many local friends in this huge city. That came up a lot. And so many women would reach out and say they were lonely, but they were lonely in their hometowns, or they were lonely in their new cities or in their new marriages or whatever. And nobody could figure out why, like, nice people couldn't make friends. You know, like, mm-hmm. what was wrong with us? And so that just came up time and time again. I always knew that I wanted to write about it. But what held me back from writing about it for a long time was, first of all, there's not a ton out there about friendships. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a lot of books out there. And the ones that are out there are, like, very research driven, mm-hmm. or they're, like, by therapists or you know, psychologists or whatever. And I was like, I don't have, like, the credentials to write a book about relationships, because I only have my own lived experience. I don't have, you know, academic background.
Sure.
But I do have, like, literally hundreds of hours of talking on my own podcast, writing on this blog, talking about it on social media, of hearing from other women over a decade about this topic. So I finally got myself to a place where I felt like, I can write about this, mm-hmm. as long as I set it up as I'm not an expert or I'm, you know, not a researcher here. I just want to start this as a conversation. This book should be a conversation, much like my own show is, because I want other women talking about it with their friends. Mm-hmm. And they talk about it with me. They need to talk about it in their friend circles or with their, you know, online buddies, whoever. But we need to be talking about some of these aspects of friendships. Nobody ever talks about friendship. We talk about marriage. We talk about parenthood. We talk about aging parents. We talk about childhood trauma. People do not talk about friends. We act like friends is just like water, just like there.
Or that they're going to stay there too, you know?
Yes.
And I think, you know, you bring up a good point with how you start the book, because something happened, and that was, again, like my best friend, Kat, who's one of my co-hosts on my Monday show. Like, we've maybe had in 15 years, three arguments that really, you know, were like rocked us. And the one recently happened when I was over in England, because I don't take a minute. When I respond back to something, I don't respond. I respond kind of feelingless, I guess, because I'm not meaning to hurt feelings, and I don't think that I'm going to hurt feelings, because my intention is not to hurt feelings. But I said a text that ended up hurting your feelings, but I was like, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings at all, but I didn't even think about how it, because I just put the text message out. It was very work related, but it was how I like said it. And, you know, her feelings are hurt. And I'm talking to my boyfriend, I'm like, I don't understand. But then I'm like, oh my God, that wasn't my intention. He's like, well, when you write it like that, I'm like, but that's like, why would she even think that? Like, she's my best friend. Like, and so I think that's hard, because we just think that they're bulletproof when they're not. And that was kind of a lesson. Then I had to go, well, shoot, I have to be mindful now of how I use my words, even in my girlfriend friendships. And I've been so aware since then, because I'm like, she's one of the most important people in my life. I don't want to upset her or make her think that she's not important or any of those things, you know?
Well, and also the other part of that is I have five core friendship philosophies in the book, and one of them is believe the best. Mm. So it doesn't mean that you didn't say it in your best way. I mean, clearly mm-hmm. you didn't.
Right. I just can be very direct because we work together too. She's my day-to-day manager. Like, you know what I mean? So it's just like, I just am very direct sometimes.
Right. So, and I believe you. And I'm sure she knows that about you. So she can still say, this hurt my feelings. I don't like it when you speak like this to me. Like I, you know, need a little bit more padding in a direct comment, whatever, however she wants to phrase it for you. Mm-hmm. But when you're having that hard conversation about this hurt my feelings, please don't, you know, speak this way or whatever. You start that conversation believing the best about one another. Mm-hmm. Like if she believed the worst about you or even not the best of like, sure. Yeah, you were trying to be mean. You treat me like a employee. I don't know, whatever, wherever her brain went. Instead, if you can both start a hard conversation, believing the best, like, I know that you didn't mean it this way because I know you and I trust mm-hmm. your heart. However, mm-hmm. when you text like this, it bums me out. Mm-hmm. And then you can believe the best about her. You believe, you know, that she's coming to you with pure intentions, that she's not trying to like cause a big work fight or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe the best about each other in one of these hard conversations, this is when you get these like deep rifts, when you start to like think, oh, she's actually secretly thinking this or that. She doesn't believe the best about me so that it makes us defensive. Like mm-hmm. how could you think I was being mean? Like, you know me. Mm-hmm. You on both sides, you have to believe the best because you want them to believe the best about you. You mm-hmm. have to offer the same grace to her, which it sounds like you guys did, but it's easier said than done for sure.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started. With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express Employment professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go in your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com today. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require.
Why do you think friendship conversations like aren't talked about? Is it just because people can just, they're fine to let go of them? Or is it like another work thing that they feel like they have to, like, you know, then go into like therapy with your friend?
Well, I do not think people are good to let go of them. Mm-hmm. Like we already mentioned, friendship breakups are It's so painful. I have talked to so many women who've said that their friendship breakup of a best friend, like a deep friendship ending, was more painful than their divorce, was more painful than romantic breakups. Like, it was that devastating. And culturally, we do not give it any weight. Like, if you go through a romantic breakup, people are like, yes, stay in bed, have your grieving period. Nobody says that about friendship breakups. You just act like, oh, you're just going to like pick up another friend. Like, you know, you're out of milk, you get more milk. Like, people treat friendships like it's this unending resource, when I don't find that to be true. But to answer your question of why we don't talk about it more, I think we learn about friendships when we're really young, like elementary school age, when you first start to learn how to be friends, like be kind, share, you know, that kind of thing. And then we just never revisit the rules that we learn when we're young or the patterns that we get in when we're young. We literally never revisit it because it's almost like this thing in life that we take for granted. Like, you learn to read. You don't need to relearn to read when you're an adult. Like, you just, it's a thing we learned. We got it.
You
do it or you don't, which actually isn't true, because we learn friendships and how to be a friend, like, under a completely different life circumstances. So, like, we learn to be friends primarily at school. So we're at school together 8 hours a day. Even when we get to be young adulthood, like in college or post-college life, if you have roommates, whatever, you are learning friendship with a lot of time on your hands, like a lot less responsibility, a lot more resilience, frankly. And then you get to adulthood, life is so different. You have work, you have a mortgage, maybe you have kids. Maybe you have health stuff. I don't know. And suddenly you can be like, I don't have the same amount of time to give to friends. I don't have the same amount of energy. I don't understand why making friends takes so much effort, when earlier in my life, it was so easy. It was sort of served up to me. That was my problem, is friends were always around. So when I got to Los Angeles, I was like, I didn't know you had to like make all this effort, like ask people on a friend date or like introduce yourself. Or like, I'd never had to practice any of those skills in the first 20 years of my life. And so it was like really eye-opening to me to become an adult. And I think that this is true for a lot of people. Like, we have no idea. We are never taught that there's maintenance involved and effort involved in friendship. And for a lot of people, we don't ever really examine it until something bad happens, until we go through a lonely period, until we have a friend breakup. So, you know, until we go through something where we're like, oh, I maybe haven't paid as much attention to friends as I should have.
Well, I think that piece is hard. Like, I mean, I have a high school best friend, you know, since middle school, and we don't talk hardly at all, really. I mean, we maybe catch up once a month. You know, it's been a little bit more now, but before it was a couple every or so months. But I mean, I still love her, you know, very much. It's just, you know, with kids and getting older, it's different states. Like, it's really hard. But I will say that the fallout friendship, so I'm curious about, because in my mind, I'm like, there's, you know, there's been one for sure that really hurt. But in my mind, I go, okay, well, I guess that friendship just didn't mean as much to them as it did to me. And like, I wouldn't have wanted that anyways, if that's how it was going to be.
Well, why do you assume it didn't mean as much to her? Because she was willing to end it?
He sold something to a story.
Oh.
And yeah. And it was my best friend. So it was, that was really hard, you know, because like we had a fallout and then you go do that. So it's like, were you even my best friend?
Yeah, no, that is a betrayal.
Yeah.
So that's different, I think. That's like in a different category of friendship breakup. Like, a betrayal, especially like of that magnitude, is enormous and something you'll never get over that. I mean, that can't be repaired. No. Mm-mm. Most friendship breakups, I think, are, you know, you hurt my feelings, we're growing apart.
Do you think those kind of friendships are repaired?
I think they can be. But I don't think most friendship breakups or friendship changes like we're talking about involve immense betrayal. What you're describing is immense betrayal. I'm just saying that to affirm to you that that is a whole different level of grief that you have to go through on top of losing the friend.
Yeah. It was a long time ago, but yeah.
Still.
I mean, it was not fun. But that's what I always kind of, that's when like my arm kind of went out to a lot of, like I keep people at very, I have a very small circle and I have a hard time letting other new friends come in.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't, I'm like, who can I trust? Right. And like, who's not going to say something or, you know, so.
Well, it seems like that would be partially a public figure problem. Like in some ways, like you're going to have different considerations than
sure
other people do. But it, that affects a lot of people too. Like I grew up in a really small town. So mm-hmm. public figure is relative, right? But it's the same sure. thing of who can you trust? Who is going to harm my reputation mm-hmm. or share a secret or anything like that? Anyone who's gone through something hard will tell you that they circle the wagons, right? With like the closest right. people, because your betrayal happened in adulthood, but this happens to a lot of us when we're young. If you get mean girled, if you're bullied, if your best friend in high school steals your boyfriend, all those different mm-hmm. stories, that can for sure affect the way that you do friendship going forward. Even on, you know, just in your own life, it only affects you, but it affects you like for the rest right. of your life, of how you walk in friendship. Like I, mm-hmm. a lot of times hear women say some version of this, diminishes a little as we get older. But when we're younger, don't you hear women who are like, oh, I'm a guy's girl. Like I yeah. only have guy friends.
Uh-huh.
All I hear when I hear a woman say that is, who hurt you? Like mm-hmm. somebody hurt you. It doesn't mean that you can't prefer to be around men and like really love that dynamic. I'm sure you sure. do. But when you swear off a whole gender set, that is probably coming from a place of hurt. You probably got yeah. mean girled. You probably lost your best friend in some really painful way. And so now you don't trust women anymore. You know, you only trust men. And
right.
Yeah, I just think we get into these habits. A lot of times they start when we're young and we never examine them when we're older, of like, well, why don't I have more friends? Or why is it hard for me to make friends? Or why don't I trust people?
And do you write about all that in your book?
I mean, yeah, not quite as exactly as we're talking about it, but for sure mm-hmm. I talk about the patterns that we learn when we're young and how it affects mm-hmm. our adult friendships. The mm-hmm. main point of the book is more, though, about addressing our loneliness.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Because so many of us feel lonely in so many different types of circumstances, in so many cities, big and small. And I really wanted to write about what I had to do, which was change my perspective on friendships. When I didn't have very many local friends in LA, I had to make something work for myself. I turned to the internet. I made internet friends, which I do write about. Mm-hmm. I poured into my childhood friends that were back in Oklahoma, which is where I was from. But I was like, I'm just going to invest in these relationships, even though they're not local. Like, I'm going to call more, email more, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I looked around at coworkers, and even though they weren't like my type of gal pal that I pictured, like
mm-hmm.
this was a coworker, but we, that's an intimacy because we saw each other every single day. We had lunch together every day. They understood a part of my life, my work life, that other people didn't understand. So I'm going to sort of elevate these people that are in my life, which is what a mm-hmm. lot of the book is about, looking around at your existing landscape. Mm-hmm. And instead of feeling like I don't have any friends or I don't have enough friends or, you know, feeling this lack that a lot of us feel, which makes us feel lonely, disconnected, to mm-hmm. look around who is there and see like, okay, maybe I wouldn't have given this person the title of friend because they're my neighbor, they're a sports sure. mom, they're a coworker, whatever. But I'm going to see that actually they are a part of my daily life. I'm a part of theirs. And sort of elevating all of these relationships in our life that we either don't give credit to, or like another big piece I think is we have a friend, but she doesn't tick a certain box for us. Like she's super fun, but like you would not have a heart-to-heart with her. Or the opposite, like she's great for a heart to heart, but like maybe she's a stick in the mud. I say that because I'm that person. Like I will love to deep dive with you, but like I'm not ever described as fun probably. So instead of seeing like our friends, like, oh, like she's not quite, like she's not this or that or whatever. Like, I really want a friend that's XYZ, that we can be like, no, let the heart to heart girl be the heart to heart girl, and then find you a fun friend that never mm-hmm. wants to go deep. Those are two different people. That does not have to be the same person. Mm-hmm. And they are going to serve on your life council. And what a joy it is to like see people in their strengths instead right. of thinking that they're not fulfilling you in some way. This also frees you up for you to be that way too. Like I just said, like, I'm not exactly the fun friend. I have other people that I let be the fun friend. Like I'm going to let
for sure.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Call me when you want a heart to heart. If you want a margarita, call Tracy. Like I just.
For sure. That's how we have like, there's five of us in a little queendom. We have like a little queendom chat, but it's like every single one of us have the, like, if you're going to go, if you want just like a really fun, get dressed up, you're going to go with Pammy. If you want like a heart to heart, you're going to come to me. Like we will spill everything together. If you want just to like chill out, watch TV, you're going to go to Kat. Like it's like, we all have our thing, and it's like, but together we're great. You know?
Well, that is the life council. That's the whole book. You yeah. already have it.
Oh, there
you don't need to read
it. Oh, there. Okay. Well, that was my next question. Cause you say, you know, the 10 friends you need, I was like, give me, cause I was like, obviously I want the listeners to read the book as well. So not give them all away, but like, what's one friend you really need?
Oh, I'll give them all away. I have no problem. I want people to read the book, but I also like want people to kind of know what they're getting into. I'll read you mm-hmm. all 10, but we can focus on whichever one kind of piqued your interest.
Okay.
There's the daily duty friend, which mm-hmm. by the way, I did not have a daily duty friend till I was 40 years old.
Oh, there's the best. That's my girl, Tanya. When I hear a daily duty, it's like things that we, you know, like we have the same sports kids and we do the sports activities together. And like we, you know, I help pick up kids, same school, stuff like that.
Same. Mine is a fellow sports mom. But I think when we think of friendship, we think all friends should be daily duty friends. Like, oh, we text every day. We talk all the time. And my deepest friendships are not all that. I didn't have a daily duty friend, like I said, till I was 40, but I've always had friends. Okay, here's the other. The old friend, mm-hmm. the business bestie, mm-hmm. the fellow obsessive. That's a big one. That's a popular one. The battle buddy.
Okay. What's the battle buddy?
Someone who is going through the same battle you are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
And that can be any battle, you know, surface level or deep. And they understand this battle in a way that other people don't. And maybe you only bond on the battle. Like, again, kind of like the coworker, maybe you aren't connecting in other ways. Your life circumstances don't look anything else alike, but you're both walking through this particular fire. That kind of companion is like absolutely priceless. Okay, then there's the yes friend. That's the fun friend. The mentor.
The yes friend's also a dangerous friend, though. I've had to really nip those.
Wait, say more.
Because I need to be challenged. I need to like be held to being, and I can do it on myself now, but in my 20s, the yes friends were the worst of my friends. Because 20 Janas was not great. 30s, you know, now I can like, I'm going to be 40 this year. So like now I'm like, okay, like I can call myself out now. I don't really like whether it's a yes or a no. It's like, but back in 20s, those were, oof, like they were fun, but they didn't help me become a better version of myself. But I guess that wasn't their job. It was mine all along.
I hope that they gave you some good memories.
They sure did.
That's right. That's right. And that's a value. You can be like, and my yes friends are in the past. They live in my scrapbook.
We don't really. Yeah, they live in Los Angeles and they're still there.
Oh, here we go. Okay. The mentor, mm-hmm. the password protector, the new friend, the soul sister. And then there's a bonus that I write about, not one of the 10 friends, but there is a seat at the table called the empty chair.
I love that. Sounds like my therapist. I like that. The empty chair.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started. With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express Employment professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go in your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com today. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles in operation. Compatible device and vehicle require.
What do you signify as the empty chair? Is it someone that's like in the like a moment, or is it just a feeling thing? Or,
well, I wanted to write about the empty chair because I wanted to give space in the book for friendship breakups, friendship loss, which we already talked about. But I also really wanted, so that's the first part of the empty chair section. But I also really wanted to keep a chair empty at your metaphorical life council table as like hope for the friends to come, like almost like I leave a light on for you, like I'll leave an empty chair for you. Because I think sometimes, as we already talked about circling our wagons, sometimes we have like a closed off vibe of like, I have all the friends I need. I don't need more on my to-do list. I don't have capacity for a new person. And if that's the energy that we're putting out, and sometimes we go through seasons where that's the best we can do, which makes sense. But also, there are so many amazing people that can come into our life, that can flow into our life. And if we do not have a metaphorical empty chair for them, we are going to miss out on an amazing relationship. And so I always wanted my circle to be open and not closed. And so that required having an empty chair. It's two-sided. It's the chair can be held in grief, in memorial, in, you know, sadness of a friendship ending. But then it can also turn and be like, well, I have an open seat at my table.
Right.
Sort of like Taylor's, it's like Taylor Swift's blank space. I have a blank space for you.
I know. I love that because I'm a big believer that God sends you people all the time.
Yes.
And so it's being open, open eyes to that. Like I will welcome people in, when it feels like, you know, that empty seat. Like I love that. Even though I can be guarded and not trust, I still am open to the like, okay, is this someone that like is supposed to move in me in a certain way and like, you know, help me in with this season or something. Or so I'm very mindful of that piece. And I'm also curious too, to wrap up, there's a lot of, when we do talk about friendships, a lot of people are like, how do you deal with friendship breakups? So it's like, if there's someone out there that's listening that wants to reconcile a friendship breakup, but they don't want to be the first one, right? Because like, I know like with me and my best friend, it's like sometimes we're just so stubborn. So it's like, we want to be the first one to be like, I'm sorry. And so like, how would you, like, what would you say to the person that like misses their best friend? They had a fallout and they want to like get it back.
Okay. Well, you have to lose the ego part of it. You have to, you just have to talk yourself off that ledge and be the first to reach out. And then let me explain what I did with my friend that I described, that we had a text rift in the middle of the pandemic. It's how I start the book off. I could tell by our interactions after I said the thing that hurt her feelings that she was so willing to end our friendship, and I did not want that to happen. So what I did was, this is a silly story, but I am glad to tell it. I asked her to come over so we could talk face to face. We sat in the backyard because this was fall 2020. We sat in the backyard 6 feet apart. I set up my backyard. It looked like a date night.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed. I love that.
I had flowers. I had champagne. I put like candles out. Like I almost giggled once I kind of got it going because I was like, this fully looks like I'm trying to seduce her. It's fine. I wanted to give the conversation and the friendship like a reverence. Like I wanted her to walk in the backyard and feel like I cared, because I did.
Right.
And that this was like my last ditch effort to make this work. So I did this because I had had a friendship breakup in the past, a dear, dear friendship breakup in my past, that I didn't fight for that friendship. I let it end. I had so many regrets after for all the things I didn't say. Even if the friendship was going to end, I wish that I had expressed things in a different way. You know, just like we do with romantic relationships when we are like, I understand why this is ending, but also I want to like leave it all on the table. Like I want to say all the things. I had not done this with this friendship in my past. So if this 2020 friendship rift I was going through, if it was going to end, I was not going to make the same mistake. Like I was going to leave it all out on the blanket with the flowers. Like I was, I was going to let her know if she chose to end it, I wanted her to know I loved her and that I was sorry and everything.
And you did everything you could do.
I did everything
which
I could do.
You can walk away going, okay, I did everything. Yeah.
Why do we,
I love that.
Why do we only put that type of effort into romantic relationships? Like my friendships are so important to me. I didn't want it to end. I treated it like the weighty conversation that it was. And she told me later when she walked into the backyard, she was definitely sort of mad in like a defensive mode, whatever. And then when she walked in, she sort of melted because she could see immediately what I was trying to do. And we still went on to have a hard conversation. We still both cried. We still had moments where we were defensive and irritated, but we were sitting with these flowers and candles.
Did she accept the final rose?
Yes, she did. And, you know, this actually sort of ties back to the empty chair in a weird way, because you have to be willing to receive. You have to be willing to receive what people are offering to you. And I was offering a sincere apology and a hope to mend that friendship. And she chose to receive it. I'm glad she did.
Right. Oh, I love that. Well, that's, I mean, I'm excited to read your book.
Yay.
So thank you, Laura, so much for coming on the show. Everyone get the Life Counsel, 10 Friends Every Woman Needs. I love it. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
This was awesome. Thank you for having me.
Hey there, mamas. Everyone knows how it goes. You're giving it your all to breastfeed or pump for your little one. But there are times when you might need a little extra help. That's where traditional medicinals Mother's Milk comes in. Mother's Milk is an organic herbal tea blend designed to support healthy lactation for breastfeeding and pumping moms. Plus, it's caffeine-free. Learn more about Mother's Milk at traditionalmedicinals.com/mothersmilk. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You know, I don't even know where to start with this, because It's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend, and Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good. What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but look
so,
at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.